when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Should I just go straight in? And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show that takes unsolved true mysteries and cocktails and puts them together for you. You wanted this, and now you've bloody got it. I'm Masood. With me, as always, is the fantastic Suze Kempner.
Ding, 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 ding.
That would be weeks ago. For
Hang on. I'll do a better one. Say hello to me again.
With me is the fantastic Suze Kempner.
Do 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 do.
The amazing Chris Stokes.
Stick a boy in your pocket. I'll place a suitcase from the van. Because if you want the best ones, but you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man.
It's where it all comes from is a mystery. It's like the changing of the seasons and the heights of the sea. He's the one who's driving me berserk. Why do only fools and horses work? La 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 la.
No, I don't know why I chose that. I don't like Only Fools and Horses all that much. It's been soured for me for reasons. I think it's because Ruth Husko on Twitter did a tweet that is kind of like stuck in my head, which is show me somebody that didn't think Nicholas Lyndhurst sang the theme tune for Only Fools and Horses and I'll show you a liar. And I was like, well, it was obviously John Sullivan. And then I'm like, do you know what though? When I was a kid, I thought it was Rodney.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm Masood and all that jazz.
Wow, Masood went the musical theater route. Who saw it coming?
How are we? What are we drinking?
I've got a concoction of my own making. Ooh. Recently, my sister went on holiday and I had to look after her dogs. And as a thank you for that, when she came back, she'd got me a bottle of orange liqueur, but like holiday orange liqueur.
Okay.
Look at that.
It's like a big fucking Orangina bottle.
It is.
Oh my goodness.
And do you know what? It's the sort of thing that on paper should be beautiful. And it's not.
No.
And
listen, I'll tell you what it is. It's exactly the sort of present that I may be receiving this Christmas from someone in Sarah's family, and I will smile, and I will accept the gift, and then I don't know what to do with it. But it's only here, so it's quite versatile.
I have absolutely no, there's not a second level on this for me. I was just grateful. I was just like, oh, hey, it's really novel. both know that it's probably not going to be the best orange liqueur ever, but, and I had a sip of it and it's not, but I've made a tell me what you think, Masood, because I just went at it
and, go for it.
We just recorded our Succession episode, which you will have listened to maybe a few weeks ago. And I drank this in that
Yes.
And I wanted to go make it again for this one.
Okay.
So it's this crema de naranja. It's this equal parts that and tequila, mm-hmm. and then muddled up hours ago with fresh rosemary, and then I've got fresh rosemary as the garnish as well.
Oh wow, that actually sounds really nice,
and it's fucking incredible.
Ooh. I think
I've got a name for it.
The muddling up is quite nice. I think that's probably what may have taken some of the edge off of the...
So the orange liqueur and the tequila, and there was loads of fresh rosemary, like fucking loads of fresh rosemary in the cocktail shaker. I just let it sit in it and I muddled it, and then it sat in it for about an hour and a half before we recorded, and then I just shook it up And I know technically I meant to stir it, but I figured by having released some oils from the rosemary,
it's better
to shake it.
Yeah.
Right.
Really, 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 really tasty.
That sounds really nice. That sounds fucking delicious. Hang on. There's a cocktail that I want to put into the mix, but I haven't been able to make it, but we'll get to it.
So what should I call this one?
I think you should call that. Ooh, I want to use naranja because I like that as a Spanish word.
We see because the liqueur looks like it's a massive orangina bowl.
Yeah.
And I've put tequila in it. I wanted to call it an orangila, but I don't know.
That's good.
That's way better.
But then orangina. There's no rosemary in that. And I feel like the rosemary's actually the star of the show. But
roses, maybe Rose and Mary's orangila. There you go. Because I quite like the orangila. That's nice.
It's good.
What do you think?
I would like to. Okay, so today, you guys know this already. My car finally gave up the ghost after just 110,000 miles. It is sad, and it's also annoying because now I have to sort everything out. But it meant I had to empty my car, and one of the things I found in my car was, and I didn't know it was in there, half a big bottle of Cafe Patron. That I'd obviously
find. What a fucking find.
Worth in a fortune,
your,
but it's...
I love that there's half a bottle of liquor just rolling around in your car.
Yeah.
It's a big bottle as well.
God knows what I must have taken it to some party, like maybe as much as 3 years ago, but it's such a big bottle and it is literally half full. And I went, oh! And I took it inside and I smelled it and it hadn't been ruined by the heat of my car or anything like that. I know what I'm going to do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I guess alcohol just isn't affected by that. It was all right. Maybe a wine would be. But so I went, I know what I'm going to make. I'm going to make the perfect espresso martini. And I made it with Cafe Patron. A discontinued and coveted coffee tequila. So what I did was I did a tiny bit of coffee from a pod, from a machine. So it's basically like fresh coffee. And I'm not really allowed very much coffee, so it's only a tiny bit. But I mixed that with a simple syrup and put it in the fridge to get very chilled. And then I shook it up with my... Cafe Patron and made a beautiful espresso martini, but it's a rare one and it came from my car. So I'm calling it Carspresso Cartini.
Nice.
Oh, yes. Do you know what? That's more effort than you would normally put in to a cocktail for this show.
Because
it is.
Anyone who was making this would first have to either have a bottle of Cafe Patron or travel back in time to get
I was going to say, this is like a time travel of a cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it in there for two whole summers and then make the drink, which is...
Yeah. I mean, no espresso martini has ever been so percolated.
having a sip of a cocktail and then going, has this been car boot aged?
Nothing less for me, please. I wanted to
ask, car boots.
What kind of coffee machine do you have? Because this is relevant to the cocktail I want to introduce, which is very related to your cocktail.
Nespresso.
Oh, it's a proper Nespresso. Okay, because I'm considering getting one.
See something.
Not it's just good. For this cocktail, but kind of just for this cocktail. And I want to get a kind of cheap machine That also gives me good coffee. I mean,
are you a coffee guy?
I'm a big coffee guy.
If you are going to use it other than the cocktail, then while you might be getting it for this cocktail, it's justified because you're going to use it anyway.
It's, the coffee. So for a while, for a few years, I was like, coffee, no, I can't. My body is pure in a temple. And now I'm like, I have two children. I must survive.
Something's got to keep you. Yeah, gotcha.
I don't have much left to do that is fun for myself. And coffee is like the closest buzz I get.
I see.
Coffee and painkillers. That's what I look for now.
So that's the cocktail you want to introduce, right?
Yes, that's the one. Coffee and painkillers. And you just kind of crunch them up with the back of a knife, and then you just snort them off your cutting board. No. So this is called I found it on a recipe website that I frequent called the Carajillo. Carajillo. Obviously, you pronounce the two L's in Spanish as E. And it is literally two ingredient drink. It's espresso and a bottle of something or a drink, a liquor called Liqueur 43. And it has like a kind of, what is it, like a vanilla kind of vibe. And it's just those two ingredients in equal measure. And apparently, like if you're a espresso martini fan, this is like next level. Like this is where you want to go next. If we go the next time we go out to Freud's or something, if they have a bottle of that, we'll get it. We'll just say equal parts of the
because
I think they'll do it. I think some places will have it. It's not a super rare liquor.
Freud's kind of strike me as that halfway where you don't know. Either they're going to go, oh, a cocktail I've never heard of. Yeah, I'll make it. No, we've got our cocktails. And
If it's not on the board.
Yeah, they'll just point, you'll ask them and they'll just point at the board and you'll be like,
there's not enough for you. And we'll be like, it is enough. We promise.
We're so sorry.
You're so enough. You are enough. You're so enough.
You're not enough. I just wanted to maybe try the.
Oh, Greg, are you sweating, Greg?
No, I don't want them to feel bad.
It's a Greg, you are fucked, mister.
Well, my sister has actually suggested a name.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
Tequila Sundown, which.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's not so bad. Tequila sunrise. I like that.
What's in a tequila sunrise?
I think it's just tequila and orange juice.
Is that all it is? Okay.
The drink that I have today is something called I might be pronouncing this wrong. I'm pronouncing it as my mum pronounces an Italian word, which is definitely wrong. Which is bicicletta or bicicletta? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. We've had this on the show before.
Oh, we have. Have we had a bicicletta?
I'm sure of it.
It's white wine, Campari, and soda water.
Chris, so, Chris.
What do you have?
Here we've got
it's incredible. Just the G. Okay. It was the G.
This is Murder of a Gold Miner. There was a British gold mine owner, entrepreneur, investor, and philanthropist by the name of Sir Harry Oakes. He was also later made a baronet.
How is it different from a baron, or is that the full title of what a baron is?
No, a baronet is a hereditary title. He was granted it in 1939. He was born in 1874, by the way.
Like a junior vice president. It's not quite an actual title.
It's the Greg of gentries.
So he, while British, which is how he could be made a knight of the realm, he was actually not born in Britain. He was born in Maine in the United States.
My granddad lived for 30 plus years.
Is that really funny, granddad? Who I quite enjoy him.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Yeah, that one.
Austrian granddad.
Is the Pope's nose Catholic?
Is the Pope's nose Catholic? Oh, bugger.
I think is the Pope's nose Catholic is better than is the Pope Catholic.
Yeah, 100%.
It is. It's really good.
It's a better saying.
I think we should.
It's such a good saying.
He's taken a classic and improved it.
We should poll to make that the actual term now. That has to be it. Yeah.
So he was born in Maine in 1874. And he was obviously born into privilege. And then in 1898, so what, 23, 24 years old, he left medical school before graduating, went to Alaska at the height of the Klondike gold rush.
Ah, okay.
I see.
And he didn't. he didn't make his fortune as a prospector. So for 15 years, he looked for gold.
Should have been selling shovels. That's the key. If everyone's digging for gold, you sell shovels, baby. That's how you make the money.
Then he eventually ended up in Ontario. This was in 1911, so he was 37 years old. Mm-hmm. And he established Lakeshore Mine. And he purchased a claim from a guy called George Miniker. Mm-hmm. And then after 20 years, so like early 30s, the gold mine, Lakeshore Mine, was the most productive in the Western Hemisphere.
Holy shit. Fucking hell. So he...
And it was the second largest gold mine in both North and South America.
Yeah.
So he got to live it up. And then he lived in the Bahamas for tax reasons from 1935 until 1943, when sometime after midnight on July the 8th, he was hit four times behind the left ear and stabbed with a miner's hand pick.
Jesus.
But that disguised the wounds from a silver ice pick. And he was burned all over his body using insecticide, and the flames were concentrated around the eyes.
Wow.
His body was then sprinkled with feathers from a mattress.
But
what?
When he was discovered, these feathers were still being gently blown over his dead body by the bedroom fan.
Wow.
This is nuts.
Yeah, this is a pretty, like, this is, I feel like this is an inside joke tied with the murder. Like, somebody's like, oh, and then we'll put the feathers on him. That'll be hilarious.
Well,
that's very...
This is in the Bahamas. I don't know what the... I don't know what, like, is voodoo, because voodoo is considered, like, in places like Haiti.
Yeah, I was going to say Haitian, yeah. And but, sort of African as well. There's, like, African roots in it too.
Yeah. But what about, did it go to the Bahamas? It didn't, did it?
I don't think so, but every regional, like, you know, they all have their own kind of black magic or whatever. So, like, and I don't mean that race when I say black magic. I mean black magic in the evil magic sense. You know, I think every region, like, there's, it's sort of like how...
The only reason I ask is because there is a thing about white feathers with blood on them.
As a voodoo thing?
In part of voodoo, yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's a bit ghoulish. The eyes were all burned.
Yeah, that's
and
fine.
They used fuel to do it with the insecticide.
Oof.
Maybe. Set it alight. So it is a gruesome murder. And it is unsolved. Mm. He'd been made a baronet 4 years previously by King George.
Yeah.
And it was as a reward for his philanthropy, which had totaled to various causes over $1.5 million.
Yeah, right. at the time.
At so the time, like, yeah.
You know, whatever. Fucking probably billions now. Fucking hell, okay.
He has permeated the 20th century more than you might think. So he married a woman called Eunice. Mm-hmm. They had five children, one of whom married FDR.
What?
So one of his daughters became First Lady.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Fucking hell.
When his murder happened and he was discovered, the governor of the Bahamas, do you know who the governor of the Bahamas was at the time?
No.
No idea.
The Duke of Windsor, formerly King Edward VIII. So after he had...
Bloody hell!
He was made governor of the Bahamas.
Oh my God. He was made ambassador to Slovenia.
And he had become quite close with Sir Harry Oak.
Yeah.
And he personally took charge of the investigation.
Oh, God. Oh, that feels like a fucking terrible idea. Just yeah. Like,
so the first thing that King Edward VIII, who wasn't king at this point, he'd abdicated. But so can you imagine being there's a detective show in this, surely. King Edward VIII being like, I'm going to look into this.
Yeah. Oh, God. I feel like that's an Adult Swim TV show. That's what that is. Is King Henry investigating.
I want him voiced by Patton Oswalt. No.
He tweets like Elon Musk. He's like, he just shares a complete nonsense and goes, concerning.
Yeah, that little emoji.
The first thing that King Edward VIII, and I'm going to call him King Edward VIII, even though he was the Duke of Windsor at this point. King Edward VIII, the first thing he did in the investigation was to try and enforce press censorship about the whole thing.
Okay. I imagine that wasn't successful.
Well, I don't know whether or not he's biased about the attention of the press, given his previous few years.
Yeah.
Probably didn't look on them favourably. But anyway, it was unsuccessful. Yeah. And within a few hours, the Bahamas Tribune had broken the story. And it was worldwide
infamy. Oh, for real? Oh, wow.
Because not only was he Sir Harry Oak's
confidant,
very, very wealthy guy, he was also a baronet and all of that. The nature of the murder was so fucking ghoulish.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Everyone had been like, yeah, we got to hear about this. That's nuts. Mm. Yeah.
So there was the fact that that Harry Oakes, when he was alive, also had a lot of connections with the press, friendly ones, not, dodgy ones. Yeah. But they, because they had been friends with him, they made sure that the case was consistently covered.
So okay.
People didn't forget about it.
Yeah.
King Edward VIII didn't think that the local police were up to the task of investigating the crime. And because World War II was going on.
Ah, yes, that also
it also made it very tricky to bring in officers from Scotland Yard to do it, which would have been done because at the time it was British.
Yeah.
But they were.
They would have just got supply those lads
so
over.
So because of the complications of the war, King Edward VIII turned to two American policemen he knew in Miami.
What, Tubbs and Crockett? Did he fucking get them down? Jesus Christ.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
That's fucking insane. Two Miami cops. That's nuts.
So they were actually, these two American detectives were supposed to assist the Bahamas police department, but instead they just took over the investigation. But they forgot their fingerprint kits in Miami. They left them there. Thought, oh, shit.
This is a fucking TV show. I don't know why this is not a TV
but
show.
It was okay though, because then the Bahamas police department were like, "Hey, no, it's okay. We've got our own fingerprints, fingerprint kits. We've got our own ones."
Surely they would. Yeah, No, but that's it though. You know, it's like when the FBI come down and fucking, this is their jurisdiction now. It's like, if they forgot their kit, no, we only use FBI fucking fingerprint kits. So these lads, these bumbling Miami dudes swing by. Yeah,
but within 36 hours, they make an arrest.
In my head, they just walked around and just pointed at somebody. And they're like,
so they arrested a man, Alfred de Marigny.
Ooh, okay.
He was a French Mauritian.
Mm.
Crucially, he was Sahara's son-in-law.
Okay. What? And what?
Okay.
Okay.
The previous year, he had, de Marigny, had eloped with their daughter Nancy, mm-hmm, without Sahari's knowledge.
Oh.
2 days after her 18th birthday. Because once she'd reached 18, she didn't need her parents' permission to get married. So she didn't ask for it. And
how old was de Marigny?
He was 14 years older than her.
Yeah.
Oakes, Sahari didn't like him, apparently, because he was a bit of a playboy.
Yeah.
And he'd been married twice before. And obviously, crucially, in Sahari's eyes, had run off with his daughter to marry her and hadn't asked his permission.
Yeah.
Which was the done thing. So.
Okay, so his thing is like, all right, so he killed him because he's like, I wanted to marry your daughter. You didn't let me. But it sounds like he did anyway. He married her anyway.
Right.
Yeah, he married her without, they eloped. They eloped.
Yeah.
2 days after her 18th mm-hmm. birthday. He was 32.
So, yeah, it seems like weird. It's like, I'm going to kill you because you didn't let me marry your daughter. But I did. But I'm still going to kill you because I don't like the
cunning. So you think he did it?
No, I don't think I at this point I'm like, no. But then again, well, I feel like you've got something else up your sleeve that he might have another reason. Because it feels like he got what he wanted. I mean, he didn't like, you know, Harry Oak.
But anyway. I mean, like, he was already married to her. There's no.
Yeah, so there's like zero.
Unless she stood to inherit, of course. And there's all of that to think about. But also, he's a gold miner. So, like, not only is he sitting on a vast wealth, like, there's also the fact that his mine is.
Constantly
I don't know whether
producing.
It was still producing gold at this point, whether they mined it dry or not. But anyway, he when Nancy was so poor. Nancy was actually told she's only 19 at this point, because it's the year mm-hmm. afterwards. Oh, she was told that her father had been murdered in that way, and that her husband had been arrested for it at the same time.
Oh fuck!
Jesus Christ!
In my head, it's definitely like, I'm so sorry, but your father has been murdered. Oh.
And you'll never get
it. But wait, there's more. This is going to make you go bleh.
Yeah, this is a fucking kicker, this one. Because your head, oh, fuck. Guess. No, you know what? Guess. No, guess. Guess who we arrested. Guess who we arrested. That's okay. In this fucking, probably in the same breath. That's insane. Okay.
Wow.
Fuck.
So she then went to the family home in Maine to be with her mum, as urged by Alfred de Marigny. Her husband said, "Oh, I know, you must go and be with your mum." But then she went straight back to Nassau in the Bahamas and started trying to organize her husband's defense.
Yeah.
Because she was like, he's innocent.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but he was committed for trial, and even though it was in these early stages, they ordered a rope for his hanging.
Shit.
Jesus.
That's just...
That's very on the nose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's fucking hell.
Put in an order for rope.
Yeah, and I bet the body's not even fucking still fucking... That's not even cold.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah,
but
I
they
get
did. The biggest piece of evidence against de Marigny was a fingerprint.
Okay,
right.
There was a fingerprint that had been found on like a screen in Sahari's bedroom, which is where the murder had taken place.
Right.
So mm-hmm. like his fingerprint's there, puts him at the scene. But despite that, he was acquitted.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because it turns out that fingerprint had actually been lifted from the glass of water that DeMarini had been drinking from during his questioning by the Miami police.
Oh, Jesus.
And oh, my planted. God.
Wow. Wow.
Fucking hell.
I just imagine those two be like, this is going to be fucking great. And they like yeah. lift the thing, fucking put it there. Jesus Christ.
That was Tubbs and Crockett.
Tubbs and Crockett.
So it's a pretty that is, thing to do. So there was an arrest. There was a trial. He was acquitted.
Yeah.
Prime suspect, only suspect. So no one knows who did him in. But when I said like he permeates the 20th century more than you might think, because I don't know whether you've ever heard of Sir Harry Oakes before today.
No.
But he actually, during the Great Depression, donated 16 acres of land. And it's called Oakes Park, which is now the central area of Niagara Falls.
Oh.
That's named I've after been. Him.
You've yep, been
that's
there,
named
yeah.
after him.
I wonder if I've been through Oakes Park.
Huh. And there've been a lot of books and four films made about
this made very okay.
So there was a film in 1984 called Eureka, starring Gene Hackman. That's based on this.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
There's a TV movie called Passion and Paradise, and it starred Rod Steiger as Sir Harry Oakes.
Hey.
Wow.
Made in 1989. And in 1990, there was a book called A Conspiracy of Crowns, mm-hmm. which was written by Alfred de Marigny himself.
Oh.
Because he lived until the age of 87 and died in 1998.
Okay.
Bloody hell. These stories all feel like a million years ago, and then you yeah. find out like they died they died when in one of the great years of 90s cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably saw and enjoyed Godzilla.
I think that was 99.
Was it? No.
Yeah, so he didn't
I think
get
it was 98.
My head, it's 97, but I think we could all be wrong. I think I might be wrong. Godzilla.
The Matthew Project.
98. It was 98.
Was it 98? Yeah. So, yeah. Wow.
That would have been a good one for VH Guess, wouldn't it?
Oh Godzilla on VH Guess.
I remember the logo, like a green ellipsis behind the wording.
Yes. That's it. I'm looking at it right now, Chris. It is with a classic tagline.
VH Guess.
Size does matter. Huh? Little sex joke in there for you.
Oh God,
That's disgusting. That's
which
disgusting.
Includes the brilliant joke of Matthew Broderick seeing because they try and lure Godzilla with a huge, great big pile of fish, Matthew Broderick does the great joke. That is a huge pile of fish.
Oh, it is. Jurassic Park.
The park.
Yeah, because it's just, it's such a good joke. So good. Such a good movie. It good is. Joke.
Best thing about that movie is the Jamiroquai song that went with it.
Gone deeper underground.
Oh my God.
When they played that, when I went to see Jamiroquai live in Mallorca in 2003 when I was 18. It was such a good concert.
Oh man.
Yeah, especially if they played that.
Yeah, they did Deep Underground. Everyone went mad.
It's my favourite Jamiroquai song.
There's two Simpsons actors in that. Both Harry Shearer and Hank Azaria are in Godzilla.
They both think Godzilla.
Yeah.
Apu and Principal Skinner.
Yeah.
Crazy. I think it was a missed opportunity there because Hank Azaria could have played that as Professor Frink.
Oh my God.
It's a big lizard, away.
It's and I think Harry Shearer definitely should have played it as either Mr. Burns or Smithers. That would
definitely Mr. Burns.
Yeah. Well, here I am reporting live.
Have you seen the Simpsons episode where he goes? He has to input a key, input into a keypad, and it says it's like place of birth, and he types in Pangaea.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's what a fucking beautiful.
It's such
joke
a good joke.
Is.
It's such a good joke.
yeah.
So yeah, there was the
there's a lot of like,
there was the planted fingerprints.
Yeah,
which again, everyone says is like it's what got him acquitted, but it's also what got him arrested in the first place. The fingerprint might have been there, and I'm not saying that he definitely didn't do it, but there's a chance he, big chance he probably didn't. There's something else that happened here as well, which is just afterwards, even though they acquitted him of the murder, the jury did give a recommendation that he was still an undesirable alien and should be removed from the island.
Ouch.
That's
always good, isn't it?
So it's because apparently he wasn't well liked, which is probably down to Sahari's influence. If Sahari didn't like him either for running off with his daughter,
then
Sahari's got influence, you know. So even King Edward VIII, this is a direct quote from King Edward VIII about Alfred de Bruny. He was an unscrupulous adventurer with an evil reputation for immoral conduct with young girls.
It sounds like Indiana Jones, to be honest.
I was just a kid.
That's the only thing that's left, because Lucas wanted to go really...
That's right. Yeah, he wanted to get really creepy about it, didn't he?
Yeah, he wanted to make it like explicit that she was like 12 or something. And it was like...
And they're like, no.
To what end, George?
Yeah, like, let's just hope everyone thinks she was 18. Yeah, come on.
Also, like, I don't get the feeling Lucas is a pedo guy. So, again, why? Was it to make Indiana Jones seem even more roguish? Because I think
there's probably something to do with that. You know, where they're like, well, our heroes can't be perfect. They have to be tarnished men. So they get given
advice. So he has to be a fucking nonce.
I think maybe you've overthought this, George. Maybe let's have him smoke 40 a day.
Yeah.
Or like, just have it that he fucks someone's wife.
Yeah. Maybe he likes to gamble. Just something that isn't diddling kids. Can we just do that?
Fucking a kid. God, you're so creepy.
And then it all
dies
down.
I was just a preteen.
It dies down and they move on. They move on to start planning the opening scene with the boulder. And George is like, can we just come back to the... I really think she needs to be 12.
Should we just...
I think it's apparently like what would happen.
Jesus.
It's weird, isn't it, as well? Because Indiana Jones, his whole thing is that he likes really old things.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be like, exactly. He's he likes really old things.
He likes old stuff.
Well, he says he doesn't like fast women in the third one. So, yeah, he's like into old stuff.
There's that incredible Masood recall again. I'd forgotten that he said that until you said it, and then the scene popped in my head. He's like, because then the very next line is, "And I hate arrogant men."
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah, yeah. Yes.
How dare you kiss me? When he was deported, he settled in Cuba, and then split up with Nancy, Sahari's daughter, in 1949. So 6 years after this, they separated.
Do any of the books or films attempt to cover his murder and like try and solve it, or is it just the story and that's where it ends?
What do you mean, the films and the books?
Yeah.
So
I imagine his tale is probably like about the trial and all that stuff. And
yeah, so he's not going to have the ending written.
No,
some
no,
of them
so.
Kind of fictionalize it and they offer their own solution. So there's one in particular. There's like one that's an ongoing series of detective. There you go. Sixth novel in the historical fictional series featuring a private detective named Nathan Heller. That was published in 1994. It's called Carnal Hours. So it was basically like this guy has created a fictional detective and then has him investigating this case.
Oh, I see. Right.
William Boyd wrote the novel Any Human Heart, which got adapted with Matthew McFadden in TV.
Oh, really?
Matthew McFadden, yeah. I think it was Matthew McFadden, Jim Broadbent, and I don't know, someone else. But this fictionalized.
I see.
And in it,
there is.
It's Matthew McFadden, Jim Broadbent, and
Sam.
I don't know.
Claflin?
Oh, Claffin. Yeah. He's the youngest one.
Yeah.
But anyway, in that, it's fictionalized as a British spy is sent to keep an eye on King Edward VIII, Duke of Windsor, and refuses while he's there to help the American detectives frame de Marigny.
Okay.
There is another in the book. There's another book called The Duchess of Windsor, The Secret Life, which is a biography of the Duchess of Windsor. And there's a chapter in there about this, because remember, he stayed married to Wallis Simpson, didn't he? King Edward VIII.
Mm.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he abdicated.
As documented in the incredible W.E.
Which I haven't seen.
That fucking Madonna movie. It's fucking bad. It's so bad. Like,
I've not seen that.
She got to make far too many movies, Madonna.
It's funny
that. Both as an actor and a director. W.E. is like shockingly bad.
I quite enjoy that. Like, a studio's like, okay, like, we've got a couple of mil swimming around. Someone give Madonna a call. And they just, and she, she wheels out some, there's a literal skip full of scripts. And she dives in.
I like this one.
She dives in like Scrooge McDuck. And then you just, see scripts fly out.
Pops out. She's like, one. I like this one about the two Nazi sympathizers. Like, oh, yeah, Madonna, I'm gonna do it as a beautiful love story. Okay, Madonna, you have fun there. Fucking hell.
This autobiography, this biography of Duchess of Windsor, The Secret Life. In it, it said that the author Charles Higham came to the conclusion that Oakes was murdered by an African ritual specialist from South Florida, who was hired specifically, brought into Nassau by airplane on the day of the murder by a man named Harold Christie, who was a business associate of Sir Harry. And they'd been friends and business partners for years. And Harold Christie had actually facilitated Sir Harry's move to the Bahamas in the first place, but they'd fallen out recently because of Harold Christie's dealings over the sale of property in the Bahamas on the island of New Providence, which was scheduled to be used for a new airfield by the Royal Air Force. Now, that is a project that King Edward VIII would have been aware of as governor of the Bahamas.
Right.
So Harold Christie had been a dinner guest at Sir Harry's house on the evening the murder occurred, stayed overnight on previous occasions, and he said that he slept in a bedroom the night of the murder, only a few metres away from that of Oakes on the night of the murder. But he said that he'd never heard or seen anything suspicious. And he even took the witness stand during the trial against de Marigny, and apparently his testimony was not convincing to the jury, but he wasn't the one on trial. And he was later knighted for contributions to the Bahamas, died very, very rich in 1973. But he told close friends years afterwards that he was directly involved in Oakes's murder.
Oh, Jesus. He just went out and said it. I bet he's one of those easy drunks that does it. Like, you fly him with enough drinks and he starts yammering on about how he was part of some murder. Oh, God. Oh, so, and that's not a fictional thing. That's documented that he would just tell people.
He apparently said as much himself. Oh, wow. Harold Christie said as much later in life. But then sometimes people do that when they want to sound hard or intimidate rivals.
Harold actually wasn't in the room. He was downstairs eating his cheese, because he gets very boring about it. Harry gets very boring about you eating his cheese.
There's another book by a newspaper editor from Nassau called John Marquis.
Right.
And in 2005, he wrote a book called Blood and Fire. And he says that the murder was planned by wealthy white people of Nassau to prevent Sir Harry moving his money to Mexico, because they wanted him to keep his money and assets on the island.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
To Mexico. What was happening in Mexico? The drug trade, of course. Yes.
Mm-hmm. They were thinking that so
he's going to go full
this
narco.
Did implicate our friend Sir Harold Christie again, and it blamed King Edward VIII the Duke of Windsor for orchestrating the cover-up by importing those two Miami detectives who, if you remember, ended up being accused of planting the evidence. Because there was a reason that he swooped in, because King Edward VIII swooped into this investigation straight away and he was like, no, this won't do. The local police aren't good enough. I'm going to bring in two detectives that I know.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. It's fucking weird, isn't it?
That is fucking weird. Just, but it's like, it's weirdly, again, it's that weirdly incompetent, like, don't worry, we'll solve this. You're like, oh, God, it's like we've put some children in charge.
Awful.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So, yeah, that's the murder of Sir Harry Oakes, the gold miner.
Right.
You know.
The corruption.
That feels kind of likely. Like, it's. I know it's like it's the most we've gotten, but also I'm like, yeah, it doesn't seem that far-fetched, though. It seems pretty, especially, like, maybe not the island Mexico thing, the money thing, but, like, at least it certainly feels like somebody orchestrated it because it is too weird. Too weird a murder where it's like, ah, then we just burn his eyes out and cover him in tears.
You're right, because... But hear me out. If it was orchestrated by the white businessmen of Nassau that wanted to keep his money there and they wanted to make it look like it was the locals or even a French Mauritian like Alfred de Marigny, would they get a little bit racist about how they frame somebody and be like, throw feathers on him, it'll look like a black person did it?
Yeah. I mean,
right,
look, I've, you know, never murdered anybody, so I can't I don't know if I would be like, yeah, let's make it a bit racist, shall we? Let's have some fun. Like, you just do it, and then you're like, let's get the fuck out of here.
No, I don't. I mean,
oh, you mean it more like?
But if they've got this, they've got this idea that they want to frame.
Oh, I see. Yeah. They're like, oh, let's just.
They want to make it look like. Yeah. So they want to make it look like it was a local.
The witch doctor.
It look like it's local flimflam.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, just get some feathers. Did you bring the feathers? I've got.
I forgot the feathers.
Oh, Greg, you had one job, okay? One fucking job. And this is, what are these? Is this fur? Have you brought mouse fur? What's wrong, Greg? Are you feeling the pressure? Do you understand?
I like when he goes, these things I'm against. What are you against, Greg? And he goes, I don't know, racism? Like, oh, Greg, everyone's against racism.
Oh, man.
Well.
Murder of a gold miner.
It doesn't seem too far-fetched that a band of local rich white men decided to carry this out.
Whiteman.
Whiteman.
Like, it's a servant. I love that.
Rich Whiteman.
Like,
nice to meet you.
Those Richard funny little Whiteman. Fish. Those funny little fish that you fry whole, white bait.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like a load of a collection of funny little white people.
That's my, if I'm ever in a meeting of people who are in the 1%, that is my alias, Rich Whiteman.
Rich Whiteman.
Rich, have you met Rich? Rich Whiteman, hello. Hello.
You walk in.
They slap you on the back and they say, you're one of the good ones. One of the good what?
Oh, it's one of those tinged with racism laughs. I know that laugh anywhere. A bit of the...
And the female version is this.
I've heard that laugh. I've definitely heard a rich white woman make that laugh. I have family in Kenya. Kenya, is it? Is that how you're talking it? From the old days, eh?
Thank you for listening, everybody. We are in all the places where we have been since the dawn of 2019. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and we've got a Patreon with loads of bonus Succession content, it seems.
Yeah. If that's your bag, we got it.
Get your episodes a week early. Plus, there is a huge back catalogue of stuff on there now.
Loads.
Yeah, if you can't get enough of Mystery on the Rocks, then trust me, by the time you're done with our Patreon, you can.
You'll be like, I've had my fill.
You'll be like, I've had enough.
Enough now.
Yeah, that's enough now.
Okay. Enough now.
Bye. Mr.
I've done the enough now to Lucy.
You've enough nowed.
And it's I think her and one of her little friends. And I it didn't feel like
they noisy. Yeah, noisy like, right, kids.
Enough now, guys.
Enough now.
Wow. Did it feel good? Or did you hate it?
A little bit. There's like a list of things I want to do as a parent that my parents did. Enough now is on there. that and potentially taking something away that they really enjoy, like confiscating something. I really can't wait to confiscate something. I'd be so good. I can't wait to take away. I know. Obviously, she won't be playing with Tamagotchis, and she's into retro stuff. But yeah, like something of that equivalent—a phone, a Tamagotchi, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where I keep it in my drawer. Oh, I can't wait to keep whatever it in my drawer.
Whatever it is, maybe they haven't invented it yet.
Whatever the future brings, man. Whatever they
fidget
bring.
Spinners and stuff.
Yeah, well, fidget spinners becomes. And such.
Smart fidget spinners.
Fidget spinners. Do you remember fidget spinners with a thing?
Sarah missed that entire arc. She was out of the country for that 2 weeks period in which the fidget spinner soared to the peak of popularity and then completely crashed. And she was like,
right.
I said, fidget spinner. She's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I'm like, the thing.
What?
Completely missed that entire thing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.